Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and I am driving solo today. Yes, it's just me. Fortunately, we have a whole lot to talk about this week, so it shouldn't be tough for me to fill up the hour with some college football talk. Before we get there, though, it's Christmas week. Happy holidays to everybody out there. I hope the week is going well. If you're off work, enjoy that. If you have to work, remember, it's just a couple days. It's a short week. I hope holiday preparations is going well. I know that makes it a busy week for everybody. Just remain calm. Remain patient. Don't forget what the holiday season is all about. Show a little extra kindness and a little extra patience this week with everybody, and you'll get through it just fine. I think we're going to have some decent weather this week. I know folks, there are folks out there who like to have that white Christmas. Unfortunately, so many people traveling, to be honest with you, I've gotten over that white Christmas thing many, many years ago. When you're a kid, it seems great. When you're an adult and have to travel, not the same feeling. All right, let's get to our football talk. I want to start by talking about, guess what? We've got some Penn State football coming up. That's right. It is bowl game week. I'm kind of curious, how does everybody feel about this bowl game? Is it meaningless? Has the playoffs? I know in general, a lot of folks think the bowl system is obsolete. Its time has come and gone. If you don't make the playoffs, what's the purpose of these bowl games? And you may feel that way about other bowl games, but now it's your team playing. It's your Penn State Nittany Lions. And it's so weird having a new coach come in for next season. We know it's going to be Matt Campbell running the team. So what does this bowl game give us? You have a situation where are we looking at young players for next year, see how they play? It's often said this bowl game or any bowl game, it's the first game of the next season. Well, is it though? When you have your entire coaching staff changing over, it'll be a different offense. It'll be a different defense. It'll be different people running those things. And also, hey, we don't know which of these players who are in this game are still going to be here next year. So far, it hasn't been too bad with the folks announcing that they were moving on, entering the transfer portal. In fact, I've been stunned at how few it is. And I'm also kind of stunned with how few players are choosing to opt out of that bowl game. Now, Terry Smith has said there's no deadline on announcing that. We still may see several players opting out. But among the primary players, Penn State is losing Zane Durant along the defensive line. They're missing safeties, Akee Wheatley. They're missing running back Nick Singleton. And they're missing offensive lineman left guard Vega Ioane. Now, those are all important players. And let's also mention Chaz Coleman, the young defensive end who has chosen to enter the transfer portal along with cornerback Elliot Washington. Now, just for comparison's sake, take a look at who Penn State is missing and compare that with Clemson. Clemson has 27 scholarship players who will not be playing in this game. Now, several of them are listed as out because of injury. I'm not sure I'm buying that is the case for all of those who are opting out because of injury. But that is a lot of players. So if you're looking at your Nittany Lions and saying it's unfortunate these players are missing, it is. Just remember, it could be worse, and think about what Clemson is going through. So I actually think, as far as players, as we talk right now, players who are going to be there, I'm pretty happy about it. I thought they would be hurt much more than they are. So good for the players that feel like they want to stick around for this game. I appreciate it. I think it will add to the enjoyment for Penn State fans that they'll have something close to a full team there for this game. Now we got to switch over to the coaching side of things. We all know the changeover is happening. We know this is going to become Matt Campbell's team going forward. We know he's bringing in his crew. Several Penn State coaches have already announced that they're leaving, and some have made the move already. Specifically, Jim Knowles, defensive coordinator, he has made the move to Tennessee. He is already out the door. We also have tight ends coach Ty Howell. He's going to Virginia Tech to be the offensive coordinator with our old friend James Franklin. By the way, just in mentioning that, with Ty Howell, I have no issue with him leaving. Let's face it, that's a huge bump, a great promotion for him, moving up the ladder, becoming an offensive coordinator for a Power Four program. Good for him. I think that's fantastic. Jim Knowles moving on to Tennessee. Is anyone upset about that? Are you? Are you really? I know I'm not. There's been nothing this year that I've seen from Jim Knowles that screamed out, this is the best defensive coordinator in the country. Sorry, I didn't see it. I'm okay with Jim Knowles moving on. Not a problem at all. I don't have a problem with the fact that he will not be here for the bowl game, for the Pinstripe Bowl. No problem at all. Now, let's talk about, there's a couple coaches who are moving on after the season, but are sticking around for the bowl game, which I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think I'm okay specifically with the coaches that are staying on. Running back coach Stan Drayton, he's moving on to the same position at South Carolina, but he's going to be here for the bowl game. Also, Phil Troutwine, offensive line coach, he's going to end up at Florida, but he is also going to stick around for the bowl game. My question to you is this. If you were to see a running back enter the portal and end up at South Carolina, or an offensive lineman enter the portal and end up at Florida with Phil Troutwine, how would you feel about it then? Would you be upset? Or would you just say, hey, look, the kid probably would have followed their position coach anyway? I'm just saying, how do you feel about that? Now, we've had, I've read recently the situation, Brian Hartline, who's now down at South Florida, but still coaching Ohio State's offense. He's their offensive coordinator. He's talking to recruits that have offers from Ohio State. He's talking to them about going to South Florida with him. How would you feel about that? So on the surface, I see it and I'm saying, hey, I think that's great for continuity. Troutwine with the offensive line, Stan Drayton with the running backs. I'm just saying, if that next step happens, how are you going to feel about it? So there you go. I think the setup is very good for Penn State in that they are not losing nearly as many players to the portal, to injury, to just opting out as Clemson is. So how do you feel about that? Anthony Poindexter, he's another interesting case here. He has been the safeties coach. He has handled the defense, ironically, for bowl games previously at Penn State in the 22 and 23 seasons, and now doing it again. I don't think there's any problem with that as far as continuity for the team. There's been no announcement if he's going to stay with the team or not. Now, he's very highly regarded, I know, in the Penn State football building. I'd like to see him return. Will he? That's a whole nother question. With him, I think it comes down to opportunity. Hey, this is a guy who was being talked about as a potential head coach just a few years ago. So you know there will be some schools that will be interested in him. It depends where it is. Has he settled in state college? Which leads me to one other factor with these guys. Try to remember, these are still human beings here. They've got families, wife, kids in school, in state college. A lot of that is going on. So it's not just, hey, I'm taking in a better job across the street. That better job is often across multiple states, far away. So there's a lot that goes into it. So it will be fascinating to see. The last part of this coaching question is Matt Campbell. Who does he want Anthony Poindexter back? Does he want some of the other guys, some of our Penn State favorites, Deion Barnes, Dan Connor, who are currently position coaches? Remember, it's a two-way street. Does the coach want to stick around? Does the head coach want them to stick around? That's the big question. And remember, it goes both ways. You have to have both guys willing to play ball together. So that's going to be interesting to see in the coming weeks. There's a lot more coaches that are in question. We shall see. For right now, though, your coordinators, remember, on the offensive side, Andy Kotelnicki, he's going to be around one more time. I think he'll be looking to build his resume a little bit in this one. On the defensive side, Jim Knowles already out the door. Anthony Poindexter taking over those coordinator duties. All right, that's going to be it for quarter number one. Hopefully we set you up for the Pinstripe Bowl. When we come back, let's talk quarterbacks. We'll do that after this.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two of our show. I am Jim Galante, flying solo today. So it's a holiday week. Schedules are very tough, so you get me for the hour. Hope you could put up with it. We're having a good time so far. Talking about Penn State football, and I wanted to get into something that I have always been fascinated about in the college football game, and that is the value of the quarterback. And I say the college football game. I suppose I could say that about the NFL also. I think the biggest variable for any team is that quarterback. Look at the teams who have won, starting with the NFL. You know, look at the best quarterbacks in the game over the last decade or two. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, multiple Super Bowl victories. You need that quarterback. Do you need other things? Oh, yes. Yes, you do. However, everything becomes much easier once you have the quarterback. I use as exhibit A, look at Bill Belichick, right? Greatest coach of all time in the NFL. Tell me this, please. How well has he done without Tom Brady? How well? Oh, by the way, Tom Brady moved on and won another Super Bowl with Bill Belichick. I don't recall. How many Super Bowls does Bill Belichick have without Tom Brady? Help me out with that. So what I'm getting at, obviously, is the importance of the quarterback position. And you now see that in college football, how important it is. By the way, number one team in the country right now is Indiana. Indiana, Kurt Cignetti, perhaps the biggest name in college football coaching right now. You all know the story. Moved on from James Madison. Nobody really knew who the guy was. He comes into Indiana, starts winning double-digit games a year ago. People said, well, are they really for real? Come on. But you know what? He got his quarterback correct in the transfer portal. Curtis Rourke he brought in, did a wonderful job for him. They made the college football playoffs. Guess what? He had the right quarterback. But then the question became, could he do it again? Could he do it again after losing the quarterback? Well, guess what he does? He brings in another transfer quarterback, brings him in from Cal. Did he get it right this time? Well, the quarterback he brought in won the Heisman Trophy. What do you think? Yeah, he got it right. He got it right twice in a row. Year ago, it meant he made the playoffs. This year, he's got a number one ranking, number one seed in the college football playoffs, mostly because he got the quarterback position right. He did a lot of other things right, too. Yes, definitely did. But most importantly, he got the quarterback position right. And if you're a Penn State fan and you paid attention, remember that game? In State College, Indiana came into town. You, of course, remember that touchdown at the end of the end zone. But that was also a drive that went the length of the field. There were multiple plays that that quarterback made. That's why he's a Heisman Trophy winner. And that's why Kurt Cignetti is such a hot coach right now. So where am I leading with this? Where I'm leading is this. There is a quarterback carousel much larger, more people involved than what we saw in the coaching carousel, the ongoing coaching carousel. And you know what? We're probably going to see more and more quarterbacks entering the portal. And it's for multiple reasons. First of all, unlike other positions, there's typically just one quarterback on the field. It's one man's job. If you're talking about offensive line, guess what? We got five of them. You bring in you already have a great left tackle. Would you bring in a second one? Sure you would, because there's a right tackle position. Or you move them inside the guard. You've got five offensive linemen. You got three wide receivers. You've got multiple tight ends you could play. Even at running back, look at Penn State. Two wonderful running backs, and they managed to play 4 years together without moving on. And it actually was probably to their benefit. Fewer carries, you know, fewer miles on the tread. So Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, they made it work with multiple running backs. But quarterback, that's a different animal. We saw a year ago, Penn State had Drew Aller and Bo Pribula, not only as his backup, but a special package kind of guy who came in. He was the more mobile quarterback. They sometimes had both quarterbacks in at the same time. There could be trick plays with it. Tremendous advantage. And at the end of the year, I think the long-range plan had always been, we would see Drew Aller, the five-star quarterback, move on to play on Sundays, and you'd have Bo Perbula with a couple years of eligibility taking over the job. But guess what? Drew Aller decided to stick around. So here you have Bo Perbula, a Pennsylvania kid, raised as a Penn State fan. But you know what? He had to make a business decision. That business decision, literally and figuratively, a business decision. Was he willing to sit for another year, sit for another season behind Drew Aller, only getting a chance to play in special package plays? Not going to happen. And I don't think there's a Penn State fan who blames Bo Perbula for moving on from Penn State. Why? Guess what? He got a starting job in a Southeast Conference program. He got paid. He got paid. And he got the opportunity to start. And he got an opportunity to start now for 2 years. So that's why the quarterbacks do what they do. And guess what? It's only getting more and more profitable to be a collegiate quarterback. The payday for a veteran quarterback is in the millions. That's right, in the millions. So if your choice, like Bo Perbula, was to sit behind Drew Aller and give up one of 2 years he has remaining as far as a payday, I'm sorry. If you were in that position, if I were in that position, I would make the move anyway. I grew up a Penn State fan. If I had had the chance to play football at Penn State, it would have been the greatest thing in the world. But you know what? If I had a school willing to pay me what Missouri was willing to pay Bo Perbula, guess what? I would be moving on to Missouri also. Cannot blame the kid for that decision. So that's all old news, right? Well, that leads us to where we're headed now. Ethan Grunkmeyer, young quarterback. 3 years of eligibility left after his redshirt freshman season this past year. Injury to Drew Aller, he got the opportunity to play. Well, his first couple games were against the number one, number two team in the country and going against Iowa's defense at Kinnick Stadium. Not an easy first three games. The coaching staff tried to protect him. They didn't let him throw the ball vertically. Took a couple games with a little bit of experience. Things started to change. They did start to allow him to throw the ball downfield. They got the running game going, which then opened up things. Play action pass for Ethan Grunkmeyer. And I tell you what, these last three games of the regular season, he looked really good. Well, now new coach Matt Campbell has a decision to make. Interestingly enough, he has some familiarity with Ethan Grunkmeyer. A couple of years ago, he was also recruiting him. Matt Campbell has some familiarity with the Ohio area, which is where Grunkmeyer is from. Campbell, he coached at Toledo, so he knows that area very well. He had recruited Ethan Grunkmeyer. He knows him from that point. But guess what? A couple days ago, we had Matt Campbell's quarterback, starting quarterback over the last 3 years, Rocco Beck, announced that he was entering the portal. Some folks throw it out there, hey, this is an absolute no-brainer. Rocco Beck played for Matt Campbell, played for the same offensive coordinator, the same quarterback coach, who are now at Penn State. Absolutely no-brainer. Well, I believe having Rocco Beck here would be great in a lot of ways. It really would. You've got a veteran. You've got someone familiar with the system, familiar with the people on the coaching staff. The question becomes, what then for Ethan Grunkmeyer? Hey, years ago, and even today, best case scenario would be Rocco Beck coming in for a season and Ethan Grunkmeyer sticking around, giving you depth. Let him learn the new system. Then he would still have 2 years of eligibility left afterwards. That would be your best case scenario. Do you see that happening? If you're Ethan Grunkmeyer, you put out your resume, you showed you could play at this Power Four level. There's a big payday waiting for him elsewhere. So then what? What I'd love to see is Matt Campbell's staff say, look, Ethan, would you consider sticking around? Get him the payday. Get him the payday and say, he's the quarterback in waiting. Rocco Beck for this year. Grunkmeyer learns the system. You make that investment, especially with a limited roster now. Your dollars could go a lot of different places. That's what I would love to see as a Penn State fan. Do I think that will happen? No, I don't. I think it's Matt Campbell's going to have to make a decision. Is it Ethan Grunkmeyer? Is it Rocco Beck? Oh, and by the way, I think that there would be that connection there with Rocco Beck. But just remember, there's a lot of teams desperate for a quarterback. If Penn State's going to bring Rocco Beck in, they're going to have to make sure he gets the huge payday. Because if they don't, somebody else will. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Lots more to go. Stick with me.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I am Jim Galante, your solo host today. So I hope you enjoy listening to me, because you're stuck with me for this hour. First of all, Merry Christmas to everybody. It is Christmas week. I guess I should go the politically correct way and say Happy Holidays. So I'll say that also. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone out there. Hope you are enjoying the season. Hope we all remember what the season is supposed to be about. And I hope you have been preparing for that big meal. You know what? I've reached a point in my life, it's not about the gifts anymore at Christmas. It's about the holiday meal, the huge meal, nice desserts, the cookies especially. That's what I'm looking forward to. I hope you all have safe travels if you're going to be hitting the road. Yes, I am going to be hitting the road myself. I'm hitting multiple locations. I'm going to be in New Jersey. I'm going to be in Altoona, so I'm going to be all over the place for the holiday season, but it means being with my family, and that is really important to me. All right, let's move on. Guess what? We finished up this past weekend, the first round of the playoffs. What did you think? A couple things went on. We had a couple closer games, a couple games that were very lopsided. And I know there's a lot of folks who will say that's what they expected. We had two group of five teams. We had James Madison and we had Tulane. And a lot of folks will say it was real predictable what we ended up seeing, which was Ole Miss in a rematch against Tulane. They stuck it to them. They beat them badly. And then we had Oregon racing out to a huge lead against James Madison. The game was over quickly. Full disclosure on that game, by before halftime, I turned it off. I had seen enough. I know James Madison put some points up to make the score look a little bit more respectable, but it was definitely a blowout. That leads to the big question, which was the question that we had going into it. which was you had these two group of five schools in it, and we had other teams complain that they earned the right to be there. Number one, Notre Dame. Number two, Duke, ACC champion. I'll remind you, though, Tulane played Duke during the regular season. Guess what happened in that one? So I'm not sure about this argument. Do I have any doubt in my mind that Notre Dame would be a favorite, perhaps even a heavy favorite, against either of those teams, James Madison or Tulane? Yeah, I think so. But here's the thing. When we talk about Duke, Notre Dame, you know what? It's your own fault that you didn't make the playoffs. Notre Dame has had the opportunity to join a conference for years now. They talk about, they didn't have the chance like other schools to play in a conference championship game and prove they're worthy of a playoff berth. Well, guess what? You did have the chance. You chose not to. You chose not to join a conference. So, guess what? You don't get the conference championship game. That's your own choice. That's the risk you decided was worthwhile. And as part of this, staying independent, your schedule reflected that. You did. If you were in the Southeast Conference, if you were in the Big Ten, even in the ACC, you would have had to play more good teams. You would have had more opportunities to prove yourself. Guess what? That didn't happen in your regular season. So you might say, hey, wait a minute, though. Jim, you already said if Notre Dame had played either James Madison or Tulane in the playoff, they would have been a favorite. Does that not prove that they are worthy of the playoff spot? Well, guess what? There are a lot of other teams who also probably would have been favored ahead of those two. We've now got to find the point where are we going to decide that we are going to give an opportunity to those group of five schools, or group of six now, I guess, or not? Are we going to give them a chance to get in or not? And the way the playoff scenario was set up in the 12-team playoff, they were pretty much guaranteed one spot. Five best conference champions. Well, that would be pretty much one of each of the Power Four, and then you would get one of the group of five teams or group of six teams in. That's how it would normally look. So what happened this year? How did we get two? Well, that was on the ACC. You had a tiebreaker for your conference championship that somehow allowed five-loss Duke to play in your conference championship game. What kind of tiebreaker is that? Well, it's kind of tiebreaker where Duke lost three games out of conference, but that does not count at all towards the tiebreaker in the ACC. And should it? Well, yeah, it should, because schedules are so mismatched. The way these tiebreakers work, it gets very complicated. With a large conference, you don't have all these teams playing each other. So the way it worked out in that complicated tiebreaker, Duke got there. Well, guess what? The next fault is with Virginia. If you're that good, Virginia, you shouldn't lose to a five-loss Duke team, all right? So now you have five-loss Duke, who, if you look at the college playoff rankings, guess what? Those out-of-conference games count. They had five losses, both James Madison and Tulane. Conference championships that finished ahead of Duke. There you go. So it's the rules, the people who made the college football playoff rules, All those people in power, and by the way, Notre Dame has a seat at that table, okay? These are how they made the rules. ACC, they had their tiebreaker rules. If you don't like Tulane and James Madison in it, you shouldn't have made the rules the way you did. Or, more importantly, take care of things yourself. Control what you can control. Notre Dame, win one more game. Or schedule teams that would reflect better on you, where your 10-2 record would get you in. Join a conference. Get a conference championship game. And Duke, don't be losing to UConn out of conference. You had control of your own destiny. That's the real point here. Every team has control of their own destiny in the Power Four, and Notre Dame as an independent. It's your own fault. Now, what this should be about, too, is how about us as the fans? And I think as fans, you might say, gee, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for blowouts. I didn't sign up for James Madison getting blown out by Oregon. I got a question for you, though. A year ago, Ohio State played Oregon in the playoffs, and they blew the doors off of Oregon. You know what? I told you I stopped watching James Madison in Oregon over the weekend before it hit halftime. Guess what? A year ago, I stopped watching Ohio State, Oregon before halftime. Why? It was a blowout. And you know what? We had these kind of blowouts even in the four-team playoff era. We did. Go look it up. You will see. Oftentimes, that fourth team that gets in gets blown out. So what am I saying here? Well, you know what? No, I'm not saying go back to the four-team playoff. I'm really not. Because there are more than four teams who are worthy of winning a national championship. And it could still happen this year. It happened last year. Ohio State was not one of the top four seeds. But what you have is a situation here where James Madison had to go into Oregon to play. Well, first of all, there's the home field advantage that Oregon had. That's big. And guess what? It's even bigger in the playoffs. The crowd is different. It is different. The enthusiasm there, the adrenaline flowing from the teams, it's different. So you know what? Oregon, much higher seed than James Madison, they had the huge advantage. I think in a neutral field, Oregon still wins that game. But playing at home, all the more so. But you know what? That's the way it works. Lower seed, you've got to travel. You've got to go on the road. You've got to play somebody on their home field. They have the advantage. That's the way it works. I have no problem with it. But you know what? Each one of those two games where you had a group of five team playing, obviously the much better team, the team that was favored by a lot. Well, guess what? That's okay. It took us a long time in the NCAA basketball tournament till we saw a number 16 seed beat a number one. But it happened. And we watched those games. We're looking for a David versus Goliath. We're looking for David to slay Goliath. And it's going to happen in college football. It will. We will see it. Remember a few years back, Boise State playing Oklahoma in a bowl game. Wasn't a playoff game. Statue of Liberty play. They pulled it off. They pulled off the upset. Guess what? We all love that. We all loved it. You know what? Most of the time, Goliath is going to beat David, okay? And that's what we had this weekend. And that's okay. But you know what? More playoff games to go. Oregon's still going to have to prove themselves on better teams than James Madison. That's how this tournament works. I'm fine with it. I'm happy with it. And if we occasionally get that mismatch and David doesn't win the game, guess what? I'm okay with that also. All right, that's it for quarter number three. One more segment to go. Please stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I am Jim Galante, your host, flying solo today. That's all right. We have so much to talk about. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. I hope you're enjoying the Christmas season. If you're on the road, please, please, please drive safely. Be patient on the road. I know it gets a little bit crowded sometimes. It gets a little bit busy. It gets hectic. Please be patient. Please get there safely. And you know what? That advice for patience. And I'm not typically a patient guy, but I'm learning in my old age. Patience is the key, whether you're on the road, dealing with your family, dealing with friends. Remember what the season is for. All right, let's talk some more Penn State football. We got the bowl game coming up here this week with the Pinstripe Bowl. Yes, I will make my prediction for the game before we're finished here. But we got so much going on with the Penn State football program. Starting with the coach, new coach, Matt Campbell, coming in. And there was a lot of consternation about, first of all, how long it took for athletic director Pat Kraft to get his man. Well, first of all, they were not going to bring in a new coach during a regular season if you're bringing in a coach who currently has a job. Yes, Virginia Tech hired James Franklin midseason. Guess what? James Franklin was without a job, okay? Also, with Matt Campbell is not your traditional coach in a lot of ways. One of the most profound ways is he doesn't use an agent in the typical way where you have that agent who's negotiating behind the scenes for you. And Matt Campbell has said, he wasn't looking to do anything during the regular season, so it's not a surprise that things took till after the season. Yes, I'm aware that Pat Kraft had some interest elsewhere. We know the coach at Brigham Young did not, it did not work out last minute. Brigham Young made a deal to make sure they maintained their coach. I get it. Pat Kraft then shifted his attention to Matt Campbell. Deal was done very quickly, and I think it's a home run hire. Everything I hear from inside the football building is good. Players are impressed with them. Hopefully that will help maintain more of the players. Everything good there. But it leads me to the conversation about Michigan. And they are still searching for their coach, at least as of the time we're recording this. And what's fascinating is we're seeing so much of the same thing that happened in Penn State's coaching search, at least the stories that are coming out. Oh, they're looking for the home run hire. Kalen DeBoer's name came up, just like it did in the Penn State football search. We're now hearing Eli Drinkwitz's name from Missouri. We heard, hey, we'll just go get Matt Campbell from Penn State. There's that assumption that your school, your team could go get whoever they want. Well, it doesn't quite work that way anymore. I said this earlier in the year when Penn State first set their attention on Kurt Cignetti from Indiana a decade ago. maybe 5 years ago, maybe even a couple years ago, if a Penn State knocked on the door of the Indiana football coach, they'd be gone. That's the way it would work. It doesn't work that way anymore. Indiana is no longer a doormat. Plus, Indiana has the option to spend the money to keep their guy. But guess what? That's happening all over the place. Nebraska, they could afford to keep their guy. Arizona State could afford to keep their guy. Missouri could afford to keep their guy. On and on and on. So more and more schools, they want to keep their coach around. They're willing to pay the price to do it, unlike how it was a few years back. So if you're a Michigan or a Penn State, you can't just decide, hey, we can take whoever I want because our school's bigger, stronger, faster, with more money. Not the case anymore. So it's fascinating. But that's the way it now works in college football. If you're not paying attention, everything is changing. So that's about the coaches. But how about the players? Well, guess what? There's money and there's the portal. And this has changed everything. In essence, every player becomes a free agent every year. That's the way it is. You just have to come to accept it. Now, does that mean, you know, the entire college football game is just going to hell in a handbasket? I don't think so. I still enjoy the game. I still love the game. And when I start watching a game, I don't think, hey, I wonder what that quarterback is making. It's irrelevant. Just like when I watch an NFL game, I don't worry how much each player is making. I'm there to watch the game. How is the product? And the product in college football is still good. It's still entertaining. And you know what? I think it's even better in some ways. We don't have those super teams anymore. Remember when it was just Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State just a few years ago? Well, guess what? Teams like Indiana now and Texas Tech, those teams could invest in their team, invest in the program, and all of a sudden, we don't get just the playoff team. We get a team that is capable of winning it all. Now, what happens if there's a downside to this? It's that we get an attachment to some of our players, and then they move on. We talked earlier about Ethan Grunkmeyer. I think Ethan Grunkmeyer earned a lot of fans towards the end of this season. They really did. I follow him. They enjoy watching him play and hope to see him develop over the next couple of years. But you know what? If Rocco Beck comes in, and Ethan Grunkmeyer decides to move on, you're going to become a Rocco Beck fan. That's the way this works. It's unfortunate in some ways, and we're now starting to see just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg of Penn State players entering the portal. Elliot Washington, Joey Schlaffer, Alex Birchmeyer all entered the portal, and I think most Penn State fans, you shrugged. But then we had Chaz Coleman decided to enter the portal. And you know what? We also see he's an Ohio kid, and there's a really good chance he's going to go to the hated Buckeyes. And you know what? It hurts. It hurts when that happens. And if you're a Penn State fan, you saw just a glimpse of what Chaz Coleman is capable of. And if you're like me, you were so anxious to see him play over the next couple years because you just saw all that promise. And that's the big adjustment that we as fans are going to have to make. That, you know what, Chaz Coleman has moved on. But guess what? When this portal season comes up, there's going to be more than Chaz Coleman leaving this Penn State team. That's the reality. And even worse, you're going to see players like Coleman maybe going to Ohio State. You're probably going to see some of these players go to, yes, Virginia Tech and James Franklin. And somehow that would hurt even a little bit more, but that's the way it goes. But guess what? You're going to have other players coming into town. You're going to have some guys coming in from Iowa State. I guarantee you that you're really going to enjoy watching play. You will. And that's the cycle. That's how it changes. But at least I think at Penn State with Matt Campbell, you've got a guy, a head coach, who I believe will stick around with this team. He will be very good at development of players. So we are going to get more players in. I know it was a tough recruiting year. It will happen, though, next year. You'll see a better recruiting class. You'll see more guys coming in. You're still going to see more recruits coming in this season. That's going to happen, too. And you know what? Come next fall, that first game, you'll be at Beaver Stadium. You'll be rooting for those players wearing the blue jerseys, the black shoes, and you're going to be happy about it. I truly believe that Matt Campbell will turn things around quickly, and you'll have something to root for. Now, speaking of rooting, we've got a football game on Saturday. And I know you could debate the importance of this, and I understand it's not the same as it used to be, but it's a chance to watch Penn State football play. Even after this team lost 6 games in a row, it was a fun game watching this team play against Indiana, even though they lost. It was fun to watch this team play and win those last 3 games. Did they mean anything? No. Changed nothing. And you know what? Even the development of those players, we don't know even know if they're going to be around next year. New coach in. There's going to be new players in. There's going to be players hitting the portal. There's going to be a new system on defense, a new system on offense. But you know what? Just enjoy the game for what it is, okay? Enjoy the game. It's your last chance to watch Penn State football for real until next fall. Which now leads us to the game itself. I mentioned earlier, I'm stunned how few players for Penn State have opted out. Now, I suppose it's still possible for more of them to opt out, guys that we don't know about. That could still happen. I know it. It could still happen. But it's still Penn State, Clemson. It'll be fun that way. Penn State, as I mentioned, lost so many fewer players than Clemson has. I think that's going to be the difference in this game. I'm picking the Nittany Lions to win this game. I have it. My score I'm picking, it's 30-20, the Nittany Lions. I think Ethan Grunkmeyer is going to have a solid game. I think he's going to add this game to his resume so that he will be an attractive option for other schools looking for a quarterback. Now, I need to put out a bold prediction. I tell you what, we're not going to see Nick Singleton. And is Catron Allen going to play? So far, it looks like he is. But might he be limited? Maybe the case. You know what I think? I think one of the young running backs is going to shock us and surprise us and have a great game. Whether it's Corey Smith, Cam Wallace, Quentin Martin, I think one of them is going to do something special. Get us all excited for next year. That's my bold prediction. That's also a wrap on our show. Merry Christmas to everyone. We'll see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.